praise team and tech team for all of your ministry. It was wonderful this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed worshiping in the music this morning. We are going to assemble our communion team. A lot of teams working this morning. And we're going to share in communion time together before Anthony comes to speak to us for the Gideons. And I want to just direct your attention, if you want to turn with me in 1 Corinthians 11, you can, or I will just take us there for a reminder and admonishment in the Lord's Supper on the seriousness of the recognition of the meaning that we have behind this symbol. And as the elements are distributed by our ushers and deacons, I want to take us to verse 23. As Paul reminds the Corinthians here, and this was a, just to remind you, we've been walking through some chapters in Corinthians in our Sunday school class, and the church at Corinth was a lot like any American congregation today, any New Testament congregation in any part of the world, in the sense that it was just comprised of many diverse, messed up individuals, and about as messed up as you could be in the body of Christ, I think. And I don't think I'm being overly difficult and hard on the Corinthians, because I put myself in that camp too. There by the grace of God go we. But the church at Corinth was an incredible metropolis of trade and commerce. I like to consider it really the Las Vegas of Asia Minor at that time. And because not only was there a lot of business and commerce there, but there was a lot of entertainment, and most of that was found in pagan worship temples and the like, kind of like our modern, some of our establishments we might see in the world today for different reasons. And all kinds of pagan worship ceremonies were going on that indulged the flesh. And these believers in the church at Corinth were saved out of this just terribly self-indulgent fleshly lifestyle in every capacity that you can imagine. And so Paul is reminding these believers about the Lord's Supper, what the purpose is, what the focus is, how serious the recognition of the facts behind this symbol is. And so he says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Isn't it interesting in verse 24 that Paul reminds us that Jesus gave the Father thanks for the bread, knowing what his fate was, knowing what his mission was. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let each one examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body correctly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." So this is a serious admonishment, isn't it? And we need to be reminded of this as we take the Lord's cup, that although this is a symbol of the reality of Jesus Christ's sacrifice of his death and his burial, we are reminded that we're to take the recognition of that seriously in our hearts. And so we prepare our hearts. The spiritual reality is here, and so we need to be really focused on ourselves, repentant, and confessing perhaps. Perhaps you, like I, needed to take a moment to confess that perhaps not all of my thoughts, attitudes, actions, and behaviors were honoring to God this week. I think I could humbly say before you that this has been the case. And so I need to stop and seriously do business with the Lord in my heart on that, and confess those things to him, because he has delivered me from sin and death and hell. And I'm so thankful for the body and the blood of Christ broken and shed for me on the cross. and looking forward to that resurrection. And that's the celebration that we have in the communion that we have together with all the saints. That he didn't leave us in our condition of rebellion and sin and despair and destruction, pending judgment. But he came and paid the price that we could never pay, so that we might receive the gracious gift of salvation from the Lord. And that's what this is about. And so we take that humbly and reverently and seriously before the Lord. So let's do that together. Let me pray for us, and then we'll receive the cup and the bread together. Father God, as we worship you together this morning, corporately we've come together to say Jesus is Lord. And we believe in you, Lord, by your gracious gift of faith and your revelation to us. Thank you, God, that you haven't left us in our sinful state. And we look forward to your soon return, Lord Jesus, and to set all things right. And we know that everything is right on your timetable. So let us rest in your hands, Father. And God, as we come together as a broken and messed up body, just like the Corinthians and the Ephesians and Galatians and every body that's met in your name throughout history, wherever there is fallen man, there is confusion and problems. And so we give those to you, Lord, confessing our desperate need for you, for your perfection, your holiness, your cleansing, your deliverance. And Father, we even mention those in our body that are in need of you in a special way this week. Those who are sick or facing surgery, we pray for them. We pray for Roy Day as he faces surgery this week. And Brenda Canode as well as she faces surgery Tuesday. We pray for Sherry Rogers' brother and his healing. And we thank you for what you've done, the praises we've heard this morning. And we thank you that those that have been ill in our body or that have been restored, we just praise you for those things, God. And Father, now as a body, praying for one another, we also pray for ourselves that we are confessing sin to you. We've not been completely pleasing and honoring to you this week in every thought, action, and attitude. And so we confess that to you. And we thank you for forgiving us, all because of your choice to love us through the terrible death and the wonderful death of the Son on the cross. The only way, the only truth, the only life we can ever count on. And we praise the holy name of Jesus, our Savior. And we thank you, God. Amen. And so, to remind you, Jesus on that night, and we'll share together, he took the bread, and after he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is for you." Jesus said, "This is my body for you. And eat this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, and he said, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. And we look forward to God in his perfect timing to fulfill all things as written in the Scripture. Just as Christ came to the cross of Calvary at that appointed day, we look forward to the soon appointment of his return and the culmination of all things in this age. And I pray that every believer is joyfully receiving that, and that we would pray for one another and pray for those that aren't in the body of Christ today through his grace for their salvation. Well, the Gideons is one of our favorite ministries, and this ministry is all about giving the Word of God to as many people as possible throughout the world. And it literally is an international ministry. I remember at the University of Texas at Arlington campus in somewhere in the 1980s. I was in and out of there several different times. I'm not sure what the date was. But I received at one of those times on campus a small green New Testament from the Gideons there. That little New Testament followed me to the mountains of Colorado in my ski jacket pocket and back down the trails to Texas eventually, and I still have it. And the Lord used that little Gideon New Testament with me in a big way when I revisited things that I said I had believed when I was a child, as I made a profession of faith for Christ when I was 7, yet strayed far from God when I got older, and revisited that word of truth, just drawn immediately to the word, knowing that God was able to teach me and speak truth to me through his word. And it in fact happened, just as he said it would. And so the Gideons are near and dear to my heart. So Anthony Austin, come and speak to us, and it's with great joy that we receive you this morning. We appreciate you being here. Brother Anthony Austin.
Brother Dan, I want to thank you and Brother Tommy, you as members of Hanson Baptist Church, for allowing me to be a part of your service this morning. It is truly a privilege for me to be here representing the Gideons International and to present you to you this year's Gideon presentation. My heart's pounding pretty hard. As I travel back down the road toward home this morning from our consecration service, as every time I do this, in my mind, there may be somebody in this congregation the same as me. When you volunteer to do something, when time comes, you wonder, why in the world did I do that? I was going to get away from sin at this morning, but it just kept popping back and popping back. There may be somebody here that's volunteered for something or going to volunteer for something, and you don't know why you've done it when the time comes, whether it's a special or whether it's to present a Sunday school class or just some scripture reading. I knew the answer before. However, the question never popped in my mind. I'm here because of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be nervous. And I'm sure from what I've heard many pastors stand before their congregations every Sunday morning, prepared a sermon and something has changed just beforehand. And there they stand with a different sermon in their mind that's coming from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 states, I hope I can quote it because I can't read it. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. I'm here to thank you this morning for your giving, for many souls that have come to the Lord because they don't have Scripture readily available in their homes, as we do here in America. Now, you are familiar with the work of the Gideons International because you have an associate pastor here, or a youth minister, that has just made a statement about what it meant to in his life. You have Gideons in this church that are very supportive of the work. And I know you allow us to come every year and share with you. We are an interdenominational association of Christian business and professional men. In many cases, we are not professional speakers. We are just like you. We're Christians and we're members of churches. We love the Lord. There are approximately 170,000 Gideons serving as your missionaries, an extended arm of the church is the way we like to look at it, in 189 countries of the world. 5 countries has been added in the last 2 years. We do not try to sneak into countries. Our leadership contacts the government. And we work hard. And we work hard to be invited into that country so that we can do God's work openly. Our purpose is the same as your purpose individually and as a church. and that's to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Gideons, we are able to accomplish the purpose of winning men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through personal witnessing and through the distribution, the placement of God's Word. A question comes to your mind probably because you hear of the millions. I think last year it was somewhere around 76 million scriptures were passed out throughout these 189 countries of the world. Will every scripture distributed yield fruit? Will someone come to know the Lord by that scripture being passed out? Possibly not. But some will. And as Gideons, we seek to accomplish what Isaiah suggests in chapter 32 and verse 20. And that's to sow beside all waters and then trust God for the increase. Mike Ritchie, a fellow Kentuckian and Gideon, was given the opportunity to share the Gideon presentation at a chapel service on the military post at Fort Knox. And he said after the service, a young GI came up to him and placed in his hands five signed $20 traveler's checks. A pretty good sacrifice for a GI. And he said this, "If it were not for your work, I would not be in Christ today." A one-chance meeting for Mike, he thought. But in a few weeks, he received a letter from this young man. His name was Nicholas. And in this letter, he shared that he had taken, borrowed, stolen, whatever you want to call it, a Gideon Bible from a hotel room in Detroit, Michigan at an earlier date. And he said, as a result of taking that scripture and reading it, he was gloriously saved. And since his conversion, he's had the opportunity to win his mother, brother, sister, drug addict, an alcoholic, and he said, many of my friends into the kingdom of God. Now, all of us have met and seen new converts, how excited they are to share the word. He went on to share in this letter that his best friend was Jewish, and in his excitement, he tried to share that word with his Jewish friend. And his friend told him in no uncertain terms that hell would have to freeze over before he ever accepted Jesus as his Messiah. And Mike said the letter continued, and in a rather humorous way, Nicholas wrote, "Mr. Ritchie, hell must have chilled. Because of the faithfulness of the Gideons International and churches just like you, Christian people, to give to the ministry, this Jewish boy was attending a college campus in upstate Indiana, and one day, when he was headed to class, there was some fellow standing on the edge of a sidewalk there in a suit with an armload of green testaments passing these out, and one ended up in his hand. And this is where my imagination starts. Probably didn't know what it was to start with, but as he looked at it, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. Probably some of his background, he had an idea of what it might be. And he began to read, Nicholas said. Nicholas said he got interested. He got involved in a Bible study group. And Nicholas says today he is a complete Jew now. The only way to become that was to know and allow Jesus Christ into his heart. Nicholas thanks you. And I thank you for that. Just what one Bible did, mother, brother, sister, drug addict, alcoholic, a best friend, into the kingdom of God. We believe as Gideons, it is God's will that we take the support that is provided by this congregation and Christian people all around the world and make God's word available in hotels and motels, convalescent homes, jails, induction centers, college and university campuses, elementary and fifth graders, wherever the doors are open, the Gideons want to be there. Our wives are also given the opportunity to take part in this ministry. They can become members of what we call the auxiliary. And as members of that auxiliary, they pray for the ministry. And they also play an active role in spreading God's word by placing Bibles in the offices of doctors and dentists. They also have the responsibility of placing that white testament that you've seen around in the hands of the nurses and the related medical staff. Not only is God blessing the work of the Gideons International in America, but I've already said, and there's 188 other countries of the world, some of whom are closed to missionaries from any denomination. But yet the Gideons are there. God has placed the word, making preparations for when a missionary does show up, it's there and ready for them to teach those individuals that have received God's word. One way we have of distributing Scripture internationally is through a program called the International Outreach Ministries. And this is a program whereby Gideons from countries like America, the British Isles, Australia, Canada, Japan, Spain, they pay their own way to go to another Gideon country, and they'll spend 7 to 14 days there assisting the local Gideons in what we call a massive Bible distribution or a Bible blitz. During this time, they make distributions at the military post, law enforcement, schools, universities, hospitals, and prisons. And unlike in the United States, when our Gideons go in to a foreign country and are allowed to go into a school, we give out to the fifth grade. They give out to all the students, and they are eagerly waiting for that blue Bible that's going to come their way because they have never had anything like that in their life, something that they can read. But they are instructed, the Gideons are instructed, tell them what's in the book. Here in the United States, when we go into the fifth grade, we have to be very careful of what we say. This is a gift from the Gideons International and the churches in your community, and we want to present this to you. In a lot of cases, though, we have principals and teachers that are bold enough that they will take the lead and they will tell them what's in this book. I thank God for those individuals. This is why we come to your church and churches like yours each year, asking for your continued support. You say, Anthony, what kind of support do you need? You can support the Gideons with your prayer, first of all. We ask that you pray for the Gideons and pray for the word that is going out at a rate of 1 million, over 1 million copies every 5 days somewhere in the world. We are also in need of more Christian business and professional men who are looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord. And this could be with the Gideons International. I would ask that you pray seriously about that. We need more help. We need more help. The goal for 2020 is to be distributing 100 million copies a year in the world. And then the third way is we do need your financial support, and you as a church support the Gideons tremendously. A Bible that is placed in the hospital, in hotels, in the doctors and dentist offices costs $5. When they're placed in a hotel and motel room, they have an average life expectancy of 6 years. But within that 6 years, they have the potential to touch 2,300 individuals that might stay in that room during that period of time. The Bibles that are placed to the fifth graders, to the emergency responders, to the nurses, and to college students, they cost $1.35 each. And this morning, you'll be given an opportunity to invest in this ministry. I want to remind you, we are not asking for tithe money. We are asking if you have anything extra to give, consider giving some of that. We also want to remind you that every penny you give goes towards the purchase and placement of God's Word somewhere in these 189 countries of the world. There are several ways that giving can be accomplished. We still receive cash. If you write a check, you can make it to payable to the Gideons International or to the Hanson Baptist Church. Then there is another way. I believe you have a Gideon card rack somewhere in the facility here, consisting of three cards, the In Memory, the Thanking of You, and the Recognition card. The In Memory card can be used at the passing of a loved one or a friend. You can even use this card weeks after you may be on a trip and not know of anything. Or in our case, our mother passed away in February, and we are still hearing from people that are so sorry, but they didn't get the news. You can use that Bible or that card for that occasion. The in recognition card for Pastor's Appreciation Day, or choir leader, or song leader, or piano, birthdays, anniversaries. You can use that card for any such occasion. And a thanking of you card when somebody pops in your mind that you just feel that you need to pray for. There's an open spot on one side. You can write a personal note. God has laid you on my heart, and I'm praying for you. Everything is in one little kit. There's an envelope. There's a card that you send to that individual. There's also another card that you would send your money in, and it's already pre-stamped. You don't have to worry about looking up an address or anything. And it says 5, 10, 15, 20 Bibles at $5 each, but you can send one Bible. And just think what happened with Nicholas. One Bible, and look what started. Souls being won. I want to thank you once again for the thousands of souls that have been won to Jesus Christ because of your giving and because of your love and your service to the Lord. One last testimony. Bill say, does anyone in here, or has anyone in here, heard that name? He was a drug king. Kind of odd. You wouldn't think anybody would hear that name, but he was a drug king. He said he had an empire. He had everything that this world could offer. But in 1980, he was arrested for first-degree murder. He said his world come tumbling down as he knew it. He lost everything, and he said, they told me I would die in the electric chair. But he forgot about his praying parents. We as believers know prayer has more power than this world can imagine. After 40 years, God answered their prayers. On September the 24th, 1982, Bill picked up, and I say he stole the last thing that he ever stole out of a prison chaplain, was a Gideon Testament laying on the prayer bench. He picked it up and he began to read. And he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. A person that was supposed to die in the electric chair now has a title in front of his name. It's Dr. Bill Say. And he travels the United States sharing his testimony about what God can do if you would just let him come into your life. The reason I ask if you had heard of him, he was in Madisonville about 3 years ago in revival. He's been in Charleston area last year, and I've never got to hear his testimony. But one of our Gideon friends in Webster County did hear it, and he said, Anthony, you cannot imagine what this man was in. No hope. Never mark anybody off of the book. God doesn't, so we shouldn't. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Anthony. It's wonderful to meet you. And I think you can always tell when somebody speaks from the heart out of passion. And you know, I just think we have a sense when one is genuine, and appreciate your passion for the Lord and genuineness of heart, Anthony. Good to meet you. And we want to, you may have noticed our pastor is absent this morning. He's been away. He's traveling, I think. We just want to remind you to pray for him. We want to always... remember Tom, we appreciate him around here. We want to pray for him and pray for God's graces on him as he travels. Well, turn with me, if you don't mind, to Matthew chapter 6. And let's spend just a little time of being encouraged. Do you need some encouragement this morning? Let's go to Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. This is very familiar territory. But let's take a deep breath and look at this morning. Because if you're like me and you sometimes feel just a tad bit hurried and maybe worried at the same time, and the world seems to be moving faster and faster, and if you try to keep up with the news at all, it can be a little bit overwhelming. I'm reminded that everything's right on schedule. And I'm not in charge of all that anyway. And we have some guidelines and some sure word in the prophecy of how this will all work out. We know the end of the story. That's the great news. So let's hope in that blessed return of Christ and share that word that he's coming back soon. Is that good news or not? I mean, we have the best news in the world, that this isn't the end of the story. Now, you hear me say that often because we need to be reminded of that every week. I need a fresh reminder. This isn't the end of the story. And God's not finished with his work in this creation. And we're part of that ongoing process. We're part of that process somehow. An unbelievable paradox that fallen, as I said earlier, just as I mentioned to Corinthians too in our Lord's Supper time, messed up people, that God would use us. It's unbelievable. But yet he chooses to operate that way. And he can do anything he wants. But somehow he's chosen to create us, to love us, to provide our salvation, and to use us in this creative work of the kingdom. And so let's read Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Stand with me in honor of reading God's word, if you will. And we'll be brief here, but let's read this and look at it together. Jesus saying, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what are we going to do to clothe ourselves?' For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. But your heavenly Father knows you need these things. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sure word that you can take our anxiety and our fears of being imperfect and very finite human beings into your infinite and perfect holiness. And you can achieve the miraculous by your grace and mercy. And we pray for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's just reflect on this for just a few minutes before we go. Yes, we are in a crazy and fallen world. And you'll recall that in one of the letters of Paul the Apostle, he said to Timothy and others that things will grow from bad to worse in the last days. And you can count on that. And all through the Scripture, we have descriptive letters and lists of what we can look for. We think of many things our own Lord said to the disciples when they pulled him aside once and said, "Master, well, we're just wondering, what will be the signs of those last days? You know, the end of the age, what's that going to look like? Let us in on the secrets." And that's fairly lengthy. If you remember, I think Matthew 24, right after he accosted the Pharisees in 23, if I remember my chapters correctly. And some of the things he mentioned were wars and rumors of wars, love would grow cold, earthquakes in many places, rise in pestilence and sickness. And we recall the list, they're familiar. Do you notice those things happening? And so they have been ever since the world fell. Ever since the word fell, those things have happened in this world. But here's what we know. That on this side of the cross today, in 2009, and where we live today with our kids and in Madisonville, Kentucky, and wherever we may be, we are one day closer than we were yesterday to the culmination of this era that the Lord talked about. And we could go on and on about eschatology for months. That's not our focus today. The focus is this. Here should be our heart and our heartbeat and our focus in these days. And I want us to think about this. It's what Anthony mentioned this morning. It's to keep giving the word of hope out to people. Because we work while the day is still called today. While there's still life in our lungs and light in the earth and we're able to give out the gospel, let's be doing that. Let's spread the good news of hope that Jesus Christ saves and He's coming back real soon. And as we do that, we'll be more joyful in our life, knowing that that's the focus of our life. And I had to remind myself and my team yesterday, it's really not whether or not we win soccer games or tournaments on a day-to-day basis, or even how well our test scores come out, perhaps, or how much money we make this year. And by the way, we encourage Bible theft here. I know that you mentioned Bill Say. I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but if there's anything good to make sure it goes out, I'm glad this word goes out in many different ways. We don't encourage theft, really. But we do encourage your giving for this word to be provided to go out, because God is using this word and activating it in people's hearts and lives to do His work. And that's the point. That's the point of life, is to focus on God and His kingdom, just as this scripture says. And so we're not to be anxious and be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow and whether the stock market will rise and fall. Really, we have no power over that. And what does that really mean? It's hard to know sometimes, isn't it? Go ahead and give those dollars to the Gideons. Buy the Bibles. $5 for a hotel Bible. I mean, you can't beat that. That $5 may not be worth anything tomorrow, but that the Word of God endures forever. What a great deal. So we'll put that in someone's hand. So to not be thinking in terms of casting our eyes down to the earth and walking by sight, but walking by faith. And sometimes I think, I know it is. I know a big part of walking by faith is as simple as these words right here. It's not having the faith to personally determine the outcome of every prayer I speak. I think God's in charge of that. Although I lift that prayer up to Him faithfully, knowing He's able. But the faith is that I can walk through today and tomorrow if God so wills. And I really don't have a guarantee of that on this earth. I don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. None of us do. We don't know what's coming. But I can walk today and look forward to whatever comes tomorrow without anxiety and stress in my life, if I will really surrender to Him. If I really have the faith, which is belief and trust in action, that God is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him, and that He really loves me and thinks about my best interest. God's will for me is not in conflict with my desires. My desires as a believer should match God's will. I should be coming in line with God's will every day I live, more and more. That's joy. The joy of life is that I can wake up tomorrow if God should will it. And whether it's in my bed with a nice savings account and a vacation on the calendar and all my family healthy, or in a prison cell somewhere with everything taken from me for the cause of Christ, if I know that I'm walking with Him, and really, and isn't that incredibly huge on both ends of the spectrum to think that way? But it's, do you know that's the reality right now, today? Today, some of us may be on the end of the spectrum where we're thinking, man, everything is great. I wish all of life was as good as today. And there are believers right now in prison and in chains for the cause of Christ, more now in our lifetime than ever in the history of the world. Persecution is happening all over the world. These two realities exist every second we live. Every second, these two realities are happening. And God is still the God of all that. And I've heard incredible stories, and it just quickens me to the core and convicts me in a wonderful way that I would aspire to that type of faith, where I've read of people in prison, whether it be through Voice of the Martyrs or the Commission magazine, that have been in prison maybe for giving out a Bible in a closed country where you're in prison for even having the Word of God. For trying to share the name of Christ, you could be killed. And they would talk about having their family taken from them and being imprisoned and rejoice that Jesus is in charge. That's amazing to me. But that's the reality of this. We're not to be anxious or to stress out. And look how practical Jesus is for us. He's not even talking about something as extreme as being in prison for the cause of the gospel here. He's talking about worrying about eat and drink and insurance and paying mortgages. He's really talking about daily practical things here. And he gives us the analogy of the birds. They're not worried. but the Lord feeds them. Flowers of the field, if God will take the time, and this is the point of what he says there, if he'll take the time to create these flowers, they're here today and gone tomorrow, and we know how fleeting that life is for anyone who tries their hand at gardening and horticulture. It's sometimes a fruitless endeavor, but those flowers' lives are short-lived even when they're done well. And if God will create for that temporary beauty, and he takes the time for that incredible design for us to enjoy, how much more important is the apex, the pinnacle of his design, you and I? How much more important is our life? And if that flower is going to be gone tomorrow, snuffed out and even thrown into the fire some, won't he take more time to put a worth in our design, in our lives? I'm encouraged by that. And he says then that not to worry, to have faith and not to be stressed. And that's a commandment. But to seek first the kingdom of God, to think like a believer, to walk by faith and not by sight. One of the factors is to be as simple as, it's not all about this. It's not all about what I have and what I do tomorrow. It's about him and his kingdom and how much I'm making much of him. I'm not here to make much of me. We are, and we shouldn't be. We need to continue to surrender ourselves, die to self. I must decrease, he must increase. And we need to be more focused on making much of him and his kingdom. And that's where my joy is. That's where your joy is, believer. It's not something we can enter into just because we try harder. It's the only war you win by surrender. We win this battle through surrender. And so he says, you know, the lost world, and that's what the word Gentiles used in this context means, that the lost, the ones outside the knowledge of the kingdom, the ones outside the revelation of the living God right now, they are frantically trying to manipulate all these things, trying to make it just right for the future and leave their own personal legacy, and they're working for their pride and whatever else they desire on this earth. And Jesus is just calmly saying, your Father knows you need all these things. He knows what you need. He knows. He's taking care of you. So let's not live like the rest of the world in a frantic fever to try to manipulate our lives to be what we want, but to surrender them to the Lord for his purposes, make much of him, and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And here's the great news. All these things are going to be taken care of. They will. May not be just like we imagined it, or maybe the commercials on television cultivated us to think we should desire it to be. But even in modern America, God's still in charge. He's in charge of the government. He raises kings up, puts them in place, takes them out. Regardless of how you vote, you know, God's working through all that. And we leave that to him, don't we? We keep living and we're active and we lift our petitions up to him in prayer. But he holds the outcome in his hands. So he says to us, and we finish here, a reminder in verse 34. Therefore, don't worry, don't stress out. Don't be anxious for tomorrow, for it'll take care of itself. And today has enough trouble of its own. I don't know about you, but I have found at almost age 50 now, and I'm a slow learner, but I have found that I don't do well handling today's problems most of the time. I really don't handle those very well, do I, dear? My sweet wife will attest to that. So she prays for me, and I pray for her. And I don't do well even with today's problems, so I'm really bad at tomorrow's. So I'm so glad. And please, believers, let's live here. And if you don't know Christ today, you can't live here. You can't live what I'm getting ready to describe. So I want to maybe tantalize you to desire him and to know this relationship. But we need to live walking in the faith that he's already there. Tomorrow is not tomorrow for God. He is above time. He's timeless. He's already there. He knows what He has in store for Marty. He knows what He has in store for Anthony, Dan, and you. That's who I want to follow. I'm not very good at it a lot of the time. But by His grace, through His revelation, His Spirit's reminders and counsel and comforting and tugging at my heart. And it may be through something like a green New Testament given to me in college when I'm going after my own prideful self-destruction. I get that and 2 years later I decide to open it. And God uses His Word and reminds me, and I'm revived into His life. I'm so thankful. And that guy, I don't even remember who it was, but you know, he was passing out those Bibles. And I know he did it in good faith. The Lord's going to bless that work. But he didn't know me. He didn't know where that little New Testament would end up. You don't know where your words and your actions will end up with anyone's life. But here's the awesome thing. It's not just about us and about today. There's some eternal significance in our lives. And if God will take the time to make little birds and flowers, and He counts those lives as worth His time, wow, what an opportunity we have, and how worth it are you? I hope that's an encouragement to you today. You know, the Lord really does love us. I don't understand how He can, but He does. I want to live there. I want to follow that kind of God. I can't even comprehend everything about Him, but I'm going to keep trying because He's worth it. Let's pray. As our musicians come, Father, we just want to thank You, God, that You are the living God of creation, that You have given us a sure word of testimony and prophecy here, Lord, that is all about You. It's about who You are. It's about the incredible things You've done in the past. It's about the people that You've walked with and You've taught and You've loved and protected. And it's about how You'll take them all the way to the end. And Father, You have counted those who claim the name of Christ on this side of the cross today in that number. How incredibly humbled we are. How thankful we are, Lord, that You are a good God, a good designer and creator who loves and who is powerful and able to deliver and save to the uttermost. And we need to be told and reminded today, if we're lost in our sin, that it doesn't matter how far down to the bottom of the barrel you've gone and what you've done, no act of your sin is greater than the grace of Jesus Christ's love. No sin is deeper than Your grace, Lord. We cannot be imprisoned in the bars of the enemy's hate beyond the reach of Your mighty arm. You can grab us right out of the pit of hell, God. The psalmist said, I praise the Lord, as I paraphrase, that You lifted Him out of the miry clay. You pulled us out of the devil's quicksand and You set us up on the rock of Jesus Christ. You gave us a new song. You put a new song in our heart. You put the hope of Christ in our life. You redeemed us from hell and death and destruction. And so we say, amen, Lord Jesus. I pray for everyone here, Lord, that You would be their reality and our greatest hope and focus. We pray all this and thank You and praise You for what You're going to do today and tomorrow in Jesus' name.